past 8, there's time for observation. You look at it, something in the garden, or you look at a painting for 3 mornings, and 2 mornings, the other 2 mornings, there's doing some sport. And then the work starts from 9 till 10:15. It can be in the garden, it can be in the kitchen, it can be repairing the house, there can be wood making. But everybody works till 10:15, then there's a quarter of an hour break, then the work goes on till 1:30. Then there's 12:30, then there's dinner, and then it's 1.5 hour pause. Everybody goes to his room. 2 days a week there's a liver compress, and then at 2:30 the work starts again. But depending on the phase there are, where you are in, then there are also other things. For instance, for the whole group, every Monday from 4:15 till 5:30 there's a group meeting. Every Monday and every Friday. And it's wonderful to see what is happening there. The people who have come from the farm and who are in their second phase, they are not hindered. They are not asked by the other people to say what do we want to do. Every person who lives there knows exactly how far the other is and reckons with that. The first month I was there, where I was drinking tea just before this group session, and there was one of the co-workers who said to somebody who was in the third phase, "Are you still here? I thought you would have been gone. What are you doing here?" He was told that you should leave. He said, "What is he doing?" You want to the people to get ready with the program, that they are really over their problem. And now he was confronting him, "What are you doing here?" And the other one got angry, and after 30 minutes he left. And in that night we were called upon that he was totally in coma because he drank I don't know how much, because he was an alcoholic. And after 3 days he was back, and he was totally anew, and he was very thankful to that co-worker that he had confronted him, because he now had a new start. So that is walking on a sharp edge, always. If you don't do that, in some weeks they will go and remain away. But if you are in time with the confrontation, you help each other, that you change and change during the program and are ready at the end. Well, I must make it not too long. Then the third phase, which is after about 3 months, then there's more responsibility of the people who live there. They write their own biography. They get a personal guide, somebody who accompanies them the whole rest of the time. They have responsibility for a part of the work. Somebody is head of the kitchen, other is head of the garden, and so on. Now the active therapies start. Before they have had massage or baths, now curative painting or speech or music. They now come in the third 7 years and discover their own souls. Discover that they have an inner life, that they want to do something with it. Sometimes that gives great problems. There was a man, he came from the Caribbean Isles, there was a Negro, and he came in great despair, but because for the first time he realized himself the difficult things he had done. He had killed, for instance, a person by a robbery. And there were other things he wouldn't tell. He had used cocaine, and he now got his conscience. The person who guided him had a very practical solution for this problem, first solution. He was going to a priest and made a confession. That helped already much, but he couldn't sleep. So he got gold. Because, of course, there is also this medicamental therapy. I will come to that later. And after 3 months, then they are coming in the last phase, where they are still living in the house. And now, for the first time, they are a little bit more free. They can leave the house in the evening sometimes, or in the weekends. Until then, they are not out of the house. They are always inside. Or together with each other, making a bicycle walk, journey, or going together to a concert or something like that. Now they have for the first time their own money again. They have their own responsibility. The first contacts with family are laid again. They come in the grown-up phase. The ego is standing in his rights again. They are getting independent, and they are making plans for the future. And then comes the moment that they have their farewell party. It is the last year since I'm there. It's always so that we have then on Friday always our therapeutical group which meets, and there was the custom that we then made a last picture of the person who left, and now we do it together with the person himself. He comes into the circle, everybody can say something, he can say also some, or she can say also something, and that's a wonderful end. But then the program is not finished, because then they come into the fifth phase, and that means they are living now in a special wing of the house, all on themselves, and are going to work in certain enterprises of Arthur himself, the institution. There is a restaurant, Lembas. There's making candles. There's a wood factory. There are all sorts of enterprises where they go through to enter anew in the society, but these are enterprises where there's a new social way of living together, because they have been full of deception of the society. And now they would come in exactly the same society back. There's one step in between. They know now how you can be different. And then when they have seen how that can be, then gradually they enter into society itself. Well, sometimes this program is normally, sometimes it's done much quicker. There are people who you don't do a favor if you let them go gradually from phase one to phase two to phase three to phase four. Lately we had a woman who was about 40, who was an alcohol addict, who had already done many programs, and always was depending on the people who gave the program. And we put her from the second phase after 2 weeks in the fourth phase, and said to her, please, you say what we have to do. She was very angry, but it helped very much. And then alcohol addiction, that goes quicker than all the other addictions. You should go quicker. And then we said after 6 months, well, in 2 weeks you are giving your farewell party. And it was wonderful. She was a very shy person. She was always leaning on others. And we have, as I already said, on Friday our meeting with the therapists, and then halfway some of the people who live there come with some tea, and this time she came with another person with some tea, and the other person said, and then she said, I want to say here something. I don't want to be sent away. Then she remained still 2 months. But that was so new that she took the own initiative, and that's what we wanted her to do. One thing, for instance, was also that after 5 months she still had her own house. And we said, you must give it up. You must burn all your ships, otherwise you won't see the future. Can you understand? So important that is for people who are addicted, that they leave their whole future, whole past behind them, so that the future is totally open. And with other people, it is very long program, the so-called long stay people, who often go to a sheltered surrounding, often are for 2 or 3 years in a Camp Hill community before they find their way, and sometimes they never come back in the normal society again. Now, I would like to say something, because we have a medical conference about the medical treatment. And the people who are not medical trained must forgive me that I say now something a little bit professional. I won't make it long. Very soon I came to the question, why do certain people take certain drugs? Is there a tendency from out of the constitution to go to certain addictions? Gambling addiction, alcohol addiction. Why does somebody takes cocaine and the other one takes speed? Is that something, because if you see the people, they have a very special constitution. If you see an alcohol addict, it is not difficult to see that he has a liver constitution. Or if you see a cocaine addict, it is not difficult to see that it is a heart constitution. For me was the question, is that already beforehand the case? Is it propter? Or is it only post? Afterwards. Because if you take lung drugs, you exhaust your heart. And I gradually, after a year, have come to the conclusion that is also propter. So that beforehand, the propter, that's a Latin word, propter, is prior to taking the drugs, you have already the tendency to have a special organ constitution. And that is like this. The heart constitution has to do with cocaine. The kidney has to do with all hallucinogens. So LSD, all mushrooms, substances, speed. The liver has to do with alcohol, as is known, but also with barbiturates, and you know that if you have them on the telephone, they have just the same way of speaking as alcohol addicts. And the lung makes people as hard as the lung. Has to do with heroin. And that means that you have, of course, a certain therapy then. That you treat the cocaine people with aurum per primulam, for instance. Or that you give them gold ointments in their heart region. And that the kidney, it's very clear that, for instance, the LSD has a psychosis which is very near to schizophrenia. And there you can give, for instance, as an outer application, ginger on the kidneys or mustard compresses on the kidneys. And that you often here can use stibium or cuprum permillisam, ren. Well, the liver I don't need to tell. And the lung. Here also belongs the gambling addiction. Now, gambling addicted people we have in Arta, they are mostly very young, and nearly all boys. Very sensitive. And there you see what addiction tries to do. Those people who have this tendency to go in this gambling, they are very sensitive people. Often very bright people also. But they are a little bit suspicious. They don't stand if they are not appreciated by people. And they have this fear for the surrounding. And what do? Then they make the surrounding very small. Only this fruit machine. Yeah? And you engage yourself with an addiction. You are limiting your consciousness to that part which the drug or the thing you do gives you, and therefore you shield you for every other problem. It's a self-chosen prison you take with taking a drug, because you shut off the other problems. Very often the drugs are, so to say, auto-therapy. The problem with such institutes as ARTA is that we often are in the danger that we become a psychiatric hospital. We can't take people who are schizophrenic or have another psychosis and treat it themselves for years with drugs. Because you can't help them in that setting. We are making a second stream for those people. But in this regard, often the drugs are used as medicaments by the patients themselves. So these gambling addicts, they live then in their heads. and they don't come into their feeling life. And last summer, when I had been in Alta for 6 weeks, I had a holiday and was in Switzerland and was high in the mountains, and there I saw the thyme growing on these rocks, so very warm, and I thought, oh, what a wonderful plant that must have some possibility to heal still in another way. And suddenly I saw that's for the gambling addicts, to have an ointment that they can enter into the middle region as a rubbing in. And it's a wonderful medicament. It's miraculous what people feel with it. Now, I want to come to an end and put a question: what does this problem of addiction pose for a question to mankind? Where does it ask for? For this soul size problem, as the sleep of prisoners says, for our time is now. Which big stride must we take? Well, I think it asks for two things. It asks, it's a question, please strengthen your ego forces. That's the first question. How can we strengthen our ego forces? Which extra enterprises we can make that these ego forces, which must bring together these three soul forces, which are going out of each other, that must be, how they can be kept on the rein? That's the first question. Well, that we will speak tomorrow. What you can do as inner exercises to strengthen your ego. I spoke about autism, AIDS, anorexia nervosa, drug addiction. All these illnesses can only be helped through communities. You can't treat autism without a community. You can't treat AIDS without a community. And the wonderful thing is those communities are existent. There are the curative homes. There are the buddies. There is the hospice movement. That's all new. It's very apparent that the drug addiction is also a thing which asks for a new society. A society where there are new communities. Not the old communities, where there is one standing on top as a pharaoh. Not the old communities like the guilds, the guilds as in the Middle Ages, or the religious communities where there is a priest. No, the communities where everybody has his responsibility. Communities where you help each other to develop yourself, to come to self-knowledge. The communities where there is put the question, as you find it in the Parsifal story in the 9th book, where Sigune asks Parsifal, is it you Sir Percival," she said. "How fares it with your search for the Grail?" That's an Ur question. We all should ask to each other, "How is it with your search to the Grail? Where are you looking for?" That's again sleep of prisoners. That can be the question on which new communities are based. And I think that you could also look at the problem of drug addiction in this very positive way, that it just helps us to come through such communities which are, so to say, the first isles in the ocean of our society now, where people can step on, can grow, and then go onto their voyage again. Yeah.